Welcome to We Talk Raw Radio, where your voice is always heard on our Beats Radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Welcome everybody to We Talk Raw on our Beats Radio. I'm Jennifer Busco, intuitive energy healer, and we are here today with Derek Wilkinson. Hi, Derek. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What are we going to talk about today?
Hopefully hockey.
Hockey.
And maybe something other. Fun stuff.
But what I love about this conversation is it's going to be very authentic because I don't really know anything about hockey, except when I went to the Checkers game, my 11-year-old boy got best hair on the Jumbotron.
So that's
the most that I know about
hockey
today.
Hair. There you go.
So we're going to be asking you, I'm going to be asking you some questions today about who you are, where you came from, and where you're going.
Look forward to it.
So let's start from where were you born? You're from Canada, right?
Yeah, oddly enough, yeah. Small town in Canada, and it's called LaSalle, Ontario now, and it's essentially a little south of Detroit, Michigan for the American.
Cold. Yeah, very cold.
Can be. Yeah, it's nice, but I grew up very Americanized, so we had four TV channels. One was Canadian, the other three were ABC, CBS, and NBC, and so we got all the always got the Detroit news, so very very Americanized as a Canadian. So now that I've been here for a long time, doesn't seem, other than my accent,
I don't really hear the accent. I was thinking
it comes
that
out. Hopefully it won't.
You almost sound live. Like New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
It's live, so I'll try to behave, but so I've been down in Charlotte now for probably 25 years, but grew up in Canada, but I'm as American a Canadian as you could probably
love
have.
It. Yeah. So we're here to talk about your professional hockey career, your professional hockey coaching career. So did you grow up playing hockey? Have you always loved hockey?
Yeah.
Is there like a love, a passion there?
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. Although evolving in Canada, like everything does, but back in my generation, you were the second you could get skates, almost shoes on. You were you were out on the ponds and the frozen I just grew a passion, and obviously other sports too would. Baseball and different things, but hockey's the one that just kind of seemed to always have me every day after school and playing outside and with your buddies and whatnot. And so I just kind of got lucky, kind of got a path, and just kind of went as far as I could with it, and a lot of great experiences, and ended up in Charlotte because of it, and have two daughters and the whole bit. So it's it's been a full experience and very, very fortunate one for me.
So you have some stories, I bet.
Too many, yeah.
So did you play in high school? How does that work up in
Canada? Little bit. It's a little different. Yeah, so I went and I ended up playing. I had a path once I turned about 15 where I could start to either look to go to American college, NCAA route, or stay in Canada. We have a junior league that's really good, and had the opportunity to look at both, decided to stay on the junior route.
So that's not high school. It's like,
You go to school, but it's junior high. It's like professional hockey, but for teenagers.
Wow.
Is what it essentially becomes, is the best way to explain it. And I moved away from home at 15. And
was it like a dorm situation?
You live with families. Yeah. You live with families. They would host the towns you're in. And from there, was drafted into professional hockey, and then got to play professional hockey for, I guess 10 years or so. And then
I got drafted by
the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah. Then I played professionally in Atlanta and Cleveland, Tampa, Chicago, had a little bit of time here in Charlotte and with the Checkers, and then went to Europe for an expansion team in Belfast, Ireland for a year.
Wow.
To live there, which was maybe my best hockey experience, life experience. That was wild to see how that
just being in another country, different cultures.
Particularly there. Yeah they had me. I was the last guy to sign, so I was I got the last apartment, and I was right at the corner of where the Protestant and the Catholics are divided. So
wow.
It was quite a scene to see how that, wonderful people, amazing people, but just to see that history and that play out in front of you. And just
so you're like growing as an athlete, but traveling also.
Yeah,
that
was more
a great way to grow.
Yeah, that was as a person was remarkable.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So yeah, so I got to do a lot of things, go to a lot of places, and all over North America, obviously. But that year in Ireland was my last year playing. That was when I knew it was enough.
Did you drink beer?
It was good. We had a sponsor. Yeah, they used to bring, we were sponsored by Harp, which is a Guinness.
I love Harp.
Yeah, but
it's lighter.
They would bring we'd get a case of Harp at our apartments every year from the sponsor, or every week from the sponsor. And I won't say if we got through it, but yeah, we got it was a good deal. It was an eye-opening experience.
So from the get-go, the path was pretty much paid for you. Like, you were good out the gate. It's just one of your gifts, one of your talents.
The one thing that did come in, I was okay, you know, as a skater, I was a pretty good player. But then we got into a situation when I was younger where one person had to be the goalie. And my dad was coaching at the time, and I did not want to be the goalie. I liked playing anything, but the rules change, and you had to dedicate one person to be the goalie, and naturally nobody wanted to, and because I was one of the coach's kids.
Is it more
kids,
boring to play the goalie because you're just sitting
it's
there?
It's crazy. It's just a bad decision is what it is. So anyways.
Because you get hurt?
It's just, you know, I did not want to do that. But anyways, and I did, and then oddly enough, it ended up working out really well. So who knows, you know, life decisions, but it was really funny. So I ended up being a goalie and then stayed as a goalie until, you know, the end of my career, and made another poor decision getting into coaching, which is not.
Do you want to set that out? I'm just kidding. This is live.
This is a series of life decisions that I wish I could change. But my goal when I was little, I wanted to be like Wayne Gretzky, and so I did not want to be a goalie, and ended up being a goalie, and it turned out really well. So can't complain about any of that. I got very lucky, but not the path I would have chosen, as you had put it earlier. I would have been a scorer or something like that.
But definitely hockey. So
hockey for sure.
Would you say that's your life love? Like mine is healing and music. Would you say that hockey is like, or something you were just really good at?
It is both. I've just always loved that. I can watch it anywhere, any type, you know, if kids are playing in the street, I can watch that. I just enjoy it. But now, you know, again, growing up where we grew up, obviously football was big. So I am I love football too.
And who's your team?
Pro team's the Detroit Lions. Which is this
you
year.
You and Eminem, right?
Yeah, we're tight. So I'm a Lions fan, but just then being down here in the South for so long, just with college and those sports and the passion that people have for college football, it's just fun. It's great. So my daughter goes to Clemson, and they've been good, relatively excellent the last probably 10 years. So we've gotten that, and that's been fun to go to those games with her and see that experience. So it's been fun. But hockey and football from a sports standpoint for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so you go from the junior league, and then where do you go after that?
Well, so I was drafted by Tampa Bay.
Was that the best day of your life? Tell us about it.
No, it was an interesting day because the draft was in Montreal, and I had never flown before.
In an airplane
until that point. So I think it was seven. I hadn't turned 18 yet. I was 17. And that was the first time I had flown.
How did you get to Ireland?
That was later. That was at the end of my career. I took a boat. So that was great. It was a thrill. I mean, you don't think you're going to be, drafted, even though you read the stuff. But then to go to Tampa Bay, they were an expansion team. So I ended up being the first goalie they ever drafted in that franchise.
Were you like watching a TV?
No, we were live. We were in the building. Yeah, we were actually in the building, and they have the table set up and the monitors where, they announce your name and you go down and meet everybody.
Were you with like your family?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And, the parties after and just that, it's kind of a neat experience for everybody to share in it. And then from there, I still play junior. You still have to earn a contract, and they still have to, want you as a part of their system.
Even though you've been drafted,
they don't, I mean, it just, they give, that gives that team your rights. But if they choose, if they don't think you're, going to make it, they don't have to do anything with you.
So what do you have to do in that window of time?
You got to keep showing improvement and, kind of keep trying, I guess, to get to the, as best a level as you can for your age. And then the one thing about pro, the junior, you have a window. It's like 16 years old to like 19, 20. But when you're looking at professional, I mean, you're looking at, guys from 18 to 35, 36.
How old were you?
So I was, when I turned pro, I was 19.
Wow. So no college?
I didn't go to play in college. I just took college courses and tried to get as many as I could. But that was a really tough decision, especially, I see kids now with the same one. It's tough when you're that young trying to figure out, do I do this or do I do that? And I had some offers from Michigan and Michigan State. And, those are schools I dreamed of playing at. And then to go the other way, it worked out well. But
a little more serious, right?
You look, all of a sudden, you're playing kids hockey.
You're
doing a lot of things, but just to make a life decision like that, you're like, man, at that young, it's, you go, geez, I could go 4 years, great school. If I don't ever play pro, I've got a great degree and
life experience. Or what if you get hurt or something too?
Yeah, right? You got all those things and, take the other path. There's a lot more risk to it, but But it worked out. So those were tough decisions to make early. But yeah, the pro thing is interesting because, again, you go from kind of like you're with your peer group all the time within a year or two, and then all of a sudden you're with men. You're the guy, you know, you show up in the locker room and, you know, they've got kids.
And you're the youngest, and right?
You're on the youngest end, and you really understand how, you know, they said they use the word professional, but you really it hits you hard. You're like, wow, this is their life. Like, this is their, and I'm going to be one of these people. Wow. I've got to figure some stuff out. And,
so did that humble you? Because that was going to be my next question. Like, how did you balance trying to, or did you stay humble?
It was in awe.
And so much success.
Well, you're also in awe too, because, you know, you're playing against the people that you idolize all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh,
like, you're one of them, you know.
You're like, want an autograph.
Yeah, you're like, one of them. Yeah, as they're scoring goals on me. I'm like, geez, can you stop and give me an autograph here? But yeah, they're, but that was the most surreal part. It was like, you know, it's almost fictional when you're watching on TV and you're getting their hockey cards and you're talking with your buddies about these guys. And next thing you know, you're on the ice with them competing in the same thing. You're just kind of like, yeah, there were some moments where you're like, you know, Jesus, is this really happening? And you have to try to snap out of it the best you can, because you're there to compete with them and
but
try to be better.
You, but when you go back home and you're the guy, and you know, when you're the guy that's professional with all your friends, then the ego is probably like, woo,
no, growing. They keep me humble. Yeah, they just pull out my stats and go, what are you doing? So, yeah, I got a real fun bunch. So it was always neat with that. So it was never... I don't know, I guess with my group and my family, everybody enjoyed it, but it wasn't over the top like that. Everybody knew we were lucky to be a part of it.
So, do you have any regrets with that time frame of your life?
Not really. I think I fell into some really good spots, and, you know, from a life perspective, and just kind of hit some, you know, some looking back, you know, some areas at the right time, and, just people you meet, and, you know, again, like coming here, my wife at the time's best friend lived here, and they're like, you know, Charlotte's awesome. It's this growing market. You know, my wife's from the South. She's from Columbia. And, you know, I was like, all right, well, I can go there and play a little bit till I sort out what I was doing. I was in between contracts, and we came here and just loved it. And, you know, you look back and you're like, geez, if that doesn't happen, you know, I'm never here. None of these things potentially happen. Maybe we don't have the kids, you know, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how those little life things turn into, you know, bigger moments. And, but then, to have been here for as long as they have doing this with the Checkers, is beyond fortunate. I mean, it's just, it's been very unique. We've gone through some different ownerships and some different things while I've been here. And then, our owner now, Michael Kahn, who's obviously Wendy Kahn set me up for this, but they've been wonderful.
Thanks for being
totally
here,
getting me, you know, like, good gosh. Something's coming around the corner here. But yeah, so that's, but again, like you say, like, just if some of those things don't happen, then these don't happen. And the quality of life here, we live in Fort Mill, and just to be in Charlotte and this beautiful city, especially over the last couple of decades, I mean, the change is remarkable.
Easy, comfortable, nice weather, better than Canada.
Great place to raise kids and the whole bit. So yeah, we've been just very fortunate with it. So I don't, to say regrets or anything like that, yeah, would you like to have played a better game here or there maybe, or done something, but overall it's worked out very, very well.
Mm-hmm. So how did the transition work? So how many years were you with Tampa Bay, and then what was your next step?
I played, once I stopped playing pro, but just before I actually stopped playing, that's when I'd spent some time in Charlotte, and the front office at the time, we had the opportunity to intern a little bit and just kind of learn, like, what do you guys do? You know, what do the sales people do? And so I started doing that and then helping out a little bit on the hockey operation side, you know, organizing and trying to recruit players, and went and played my last year. And when I came back, they were like, well, you know, would you want to keep doing that? And I said, sure. And I ended up getting, at the same time, getting my real estate license. A good friend of mine was doing it and really enjoyed it. So I went and got that. So I partnered with him, and they were with Allen Tate at the time, and I was kind of doing both and really enjoying the real estate piece of it. And it was booming, as you know, in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to learn. It was happening pretty quick, and I really enjoyed that. It just made my mind work in a different way. But at the same time, I was still working with the Checkers in the front office and learning that. And then they asked, okay, would you like to get on the ice and start coaching? And I was like, well, sure. You know, as an assistant, never really
thinking.
How
was that transition from, like,
it was difficult
to coach?
Assistant coach was easy because, again, you're almost like one of the guys. You know, you're not the heavy. You're not making the end decisions and stuff. So that, I enjoyed that. That was fun. I started doing a lot more of the management stuff, which I was really, I don't know, it kind of came naturally to me.
And how old were you? Mid-20s at this time?
I was late 20s, yeah.
So still young.
Late 20s.
That's young for an assistant coach, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't feel it, but yeah. yeah, it was, yeah. And then unfortunately, the coach at the time, we had gone through a couple ownership changes, and the coach at the time got let go. And they were like, well, you know, you're here. Do you want to just be the head guy for the finish out the season for us until we can kind of regroup everything and see what we're doing? And I said, sure. And
how was that?
That was eye opening. Cause my, when I grew up, my dad was a really good coach, and he had that weird, you know, just that, you know, kind of really tough approach. And I was the exact opposite.
Teaching and coaching, you kind of have to have it.
Well, that motivation. So it was an eye opener for me, to actually be in the hot seat in that position. But we did pretty good. And I was like, well, hey, I think this might work. I'll try it another year. Again, just to transition through some ownership stuff. It was never anything I thought I would do long term. And then another ownership change came. We started doing pretty well. And that's when Michael Kahn bought it and said, hey, I want you to, you know, keep doing this. And I did. And I had good people, and he's awesome. It was great. But it was a lot to learn for me. It was definitely not a natural. It wasn't something I had on my bucket list, like one day I want to coach. I guess no, not at all. So another series of bad decisions. That was one of them.
Well, that's
them
a great
too.
Place to fall into, oh, though, gosh. Right? So what? So crazy. Where? So, yeah. Where? So that was 30s, late 20s.
Yeah.
30s.
So I was general manager and coach, and then when we moved leagues, we were in the East Coast League. It was a Double A league, and we moved up to the Triple A league, been affiliated with the Carolina Hurricanes, and they had their own coaches that were already contracted. So I stayed in the management role, didn't do the coaching, and that was. You know, that was great. So it worked out well. So then just been now the same thing, just manage all the
and
hockey
that's where
operations,
you're that path.
Stayed all the time. And I'll jump on every once in a while and help out, you know, if there's with some of the coaching, if just in a, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here, you know, if they're on the road and there's guys that need to be conditioned or whatever and all that stuff. So I still do a little bit of it to have some fun, but
more behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
In a way.
I'm 100% behind
the
scenes.
The curtain.
You bet.
One of the many men.
Yeah.
The
yeah. But so it's been a nice transition. So, and it's a fun sport. My girls love it. They never played it, but they love watching it. So, I mean, I guess if you want to say one regret, it's not even a regret, but one of the things that would have been great is if they could have saw me play. They were born after I ended up playing, which is probably good for them, but they pull up some stuff and it's a lot of fun, but yeah, that would have been fun. But, that if that would have worked out, that would have been great. Aww. But yeah, but they had to live through the other stuff. So living through this stuff, I guess. But yeah. So anyways, yeah.
So my next question is, I'm a healer, so I'm all about sort of mindset, getting to know yourself, self-awareness. What would you say one of the biggest tools that you use to deal with like the stress and the pressure as a player and as a coach? So like with lots of stress, lots of pressure, is there something that you would do? Like, did you meditate? Did you tell yourself a certain mantra? Did you breathe or did you not remember anything?
Well, there's a mental condition, I think, for what I had. I was a habit guy. You could probably, everything on my body that left went on first. So
wait,
like my left shoe would go on my left sock, my left leg, my left. So when I would take my and put my stuff on to play a game and or practice.
So almost like superstitious in a way.
Superstitious. That's the word I was looking for. That kept me safe. And another thing that I found from a meditation standpoint was driving and music, like listening, like driving and music and just kind
Are
of.
Are you a musician? Do you like music?
I do.
Do you like Taylor Swift? Say yes.
I have
or
to
I'm
say
leaving.
Yes. Okay, yes. Actually, you. We have tickets to go see her in November in Toronto.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
The girls won one of those lottery things.
Oh, my. Which was so hard to get in, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Tell her hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll be front row. Yeah. We'll be landing planes from where we're at, I'm sure. But yeah. But yeah. No, that was one of the things I did for sure. And then, and music was a great way for me to, you know, just to kind of focus. And
playing
then,
it or listening to it?
Well, listening to it as I got older, but we did play it younger, as we may have discussed a little bit. I just grew up with it. That was part of the Canadian school system. So you played music. That
so
was
would you play?
Interesting. Well, I mean, after we got past the, what do you call it? The recorder and the hot cross buns, we got into we got to choose either you could do instrument or you could do percussion. So I got into percussion, and we did that for years. I mean, I got every all the way through up until high school, and then went to high school finally got to go into the class. We got to play the full set of drums. So I was—I wouldn't call myself a drummer, but I played the full set of drums for a while.
I love that, and I think that's interesting because I think people think meditation is like you're sitting on a cushion and your eyes are closed. But I think there are so many ways to have like a moving meditation, or music can be a meditation, especially the drums, which are like that grounding. That grounding sound was probably really helpful for you to like calm.
It is.
Into your body.
Yeah, and then also go the other way too. Like if you're not feeling, yourself, or if you feel like you need a little pick me up, and that works the same both. That's why I found it such a good, you can lose yourself in it, you can decompress, and then you can also go lift.
Yes.
Exactly, that's a great word. So I've always had that as a background all my life. All my everybody that I grew up with, even my parents. I mean, it's always been a thing for us is music or being somehow musically inclined.
I love it.
So that was a nice background to have. It's just a part of living there, and I wish they had it here. As a part of the, I know they do singing and stuff, but actual instruments.
Right. Actually, we have a drum set that right back here that we're going to
we'll get it going. You're going to play
us a song.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, that'll be good.
That's great.
That'll get your ratings going.
So shifting gears a little bit. So this is who you are today. And where are you going in the future? Let's talk about your place with the youth hockey in Charlotte and what your passion is there.
We've been, obviously lucky. When you're young and you get started out, you don't realize how much time people put in for you to play any type of sport, whether or anything you do. Like my daughters do dance, like the amount of hours people put in, volunteer work and stuff. You're just doing it. You just kind of think it's great. Mom, dad, whoever shows up and you go. And then when you kind of get out of doing it and you look back and you I would go to an arena to work with a youth hockey practice, and they would be like, okay, you need to talk to, these five people, and then go on the ice. And you're like, wait a second, there's just the amount of volunteers. It was really cool to see. And then you realize, well, what can we do to give back? And so about 7-8 years ago, we started up a Junior Checkers program. I guess I own it.
Do they practice in the Checkers arena?
We have at Bojangles.
Really
Bojangles Coliseum. And what we were able to do is we really just kind of put our whole thought process into exposing the game to all kinds of kids, not only kids that play now, but other kids that have maybe never know what hockey is. And I partnered up with Zach Houle, and we did a deal with the Hurricanes, the National Hockey League. It's called the First Goal Program, and it's geared towards kids that are boys and girls 5 to 9 years old that they can have skating experience but not really hockey experience. And they pay a very low fee. They get a full set of equipment, skate, stick, helmet, bag, everything, and 6 or 7 ice sessions that we teach. And the idea is to try to expose them to the game, but then to get them to love it like we do and stick with it. And
I love that.
We've had an
dedication,
incredible
loyalty.
Yeah. So we've been about we have 7 years. 1 year we lost with COVID. So, but we're six years into it now, and we've had over 500 kids, boys and girls, try it, and we have a retention rate of somewhere between 70% and 80%, where the national average is around 15%. And we've just had we've just hit a home run here with the boys and girls doing that. So that's become a passion. We now have a U12 division, a U10 division, and our U8s. We've got about 100 full-time kids. Then we also graduate the kids to the other markets, the other rinks in town that have, if they live closer or if they want to try the travel, like the higher level hockey, we graduate them into there. One of the neat things that we have, and we can't figure it out. We're not that smart, obviously. But we have 3 out of every 10 of our kids that sign up are girls.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
That is so fun.
Yeah, so now we're getting to the point now in Charlotte where we have full-time girls-only teams that are really good. And so that's been just a strange, we don't know why.
You're doing something right.
Yeah, we don't want to think about it too much because, we don't want to change anything, but it's been wonderful. The building's been great. Bojangles, and those little, the little boys, they get out there. There's a lot of smiles. There's some tears,
but
they get out there and the arena just seems, just gigantic.
Oh my gosh,
them, right?
And I know an 11-year-old boy, I've had many parents be like, don't get him into hockey. It's so expensive.
It is expensive.
So for you to make it accessible to people,
that's
I think that's key. Really key.
Yeah.
Versus flag football, which is like nothing.
Right. Yeah. And And that's the beauty of what we do is, so we have it from September to April, which is pretty much the pro season. The ice is open and available, but our kids all play other sports. So they're in soccer, they're into football, they're into lacrosse, whatever they can play. Mm-hmm. So for us, this is just one of the things they do, not the thing they do.
And if
we have them that want to do that full time, then we get them to the programs that do that. And it's worked out really, really well.
So if I was a parent watching this and I had a child and you were piquing my interest, what would you say, how does this benefit like the development of the child in terms of not the sports part, but just does that give them, you said loyalty, dedication?
Well, it really does. But I just think from a confidence standpoint, you try something new, you know, you have the apprehension, you
walk through that fear.
Yeah. Right. And so here's an opportunity to step on the ice in a professional arena, in skates and equipment that you've probably never seen before. You don't maybe understand what's happening, but you're with all the same people are doing the exact same thing with you.
So they
meet new people. You know, there's times we've had kids that have lived in the same neighborhood, didn't have any idea they're both signing up for the same program. You know, they're in the parents in the stands like, hey, wait a sec, I know you, and they're in the same neighborhood.
That's
and
great.
Now they're friends. And it really does become, you're working through something together that you've never done before. So it's so encouraging to see the kids, the high fives, they all fall. We all do, you know, the first thing we teach them is how to fall and get up. But just see that encouragement and their confidence is great. And then, you know, you've learned a new skill.
That's probably more important than the actual,
but you're skating,
physical.
Skating's hard, you know, yeah. That's a difficult thing to do, but just to learn that balance. And again, it's the whole fear and overcoming the fear of, wow, this is really neat. And then they'll always be able to say, yeah, I played hockey. People are like, sure
I
you
love
did.
It. Well,
like I
so
played
glad.
The drums, right?
Right, exactly.
Like, sure you did. Yeah.
We're so glad that you came to Charlotte because that sounds like a really amazing.
It's been fun. Yeah.
You're adding to the Charlotte community in that way.
Yeah. We found a nice little spot that the market needed and the other rinks do, like Pineville Ice House and mm-hmm. the Extreme Ice Center. You know, they do their Learn to Play too, but they've got everything. I mean, those are full-on businesses 24/7. This is just something we love to do, and we're able to provide it. And you know, we got a good sponsor this year with Mellow Mushroom. You know, it's growing, so the exposure for the kids, we're able to do more things. We just went to Charleston last weekend for their first ever tournament they've ever been in, and we had a blast. And
aww.
You know, it didn't cost the parents any money other than hotel night, and they loved it. It was great, just to get another life experience, hotel, hanging out with your friends. And it's just very rewarding to see, these kids come through. But yeah, it's a fun program, and the city's great. I mean, they sponsor it as well. We don't have to pay for the ice for it, and so everybody kind of pitches in to keep it as cheap as we possibly
can. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, do you have like a website or a handle that you want to share with people?
Yeah.
If there's any questions?
JuniorCheckers.com. You can go on there. All the information is on that site, and our numbers are on there too. We actually talk to you. It's not just, you can email, but you can call us. We have a lot of parents, again, you just don't know, right? So it's sometimes you don't even know what to say in an email mm-hmm. to get started. So our numbers are on there. You just give us a call. We walk you through it. And oftentimes the phone calls we get are more driven to, hey, you live, you know, you're down in the Pineville, you're in the South Charlotte area. Hey, here, let's call them, you know, and we'll call them for them. Here's your opportunity. You know, a lot of people move in from the North, are already playing. We get a lot of calls like that. And then for the kids that want to just, you know, give it a shot, then just give us a call. We always open up about May for registration for the fall. It starts up again in September. And but we'll walk you through it. And JuniorCheckers.com.
And all right, take notes, everybody.
Yeah. So it's
take notes.
It's really
out.
Cool. Yeah, it's really neat.
That's
program,
amazing.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, but you're not leaving. Stay here. And everybody, stay tuned. We will be right back after this message from our Beats Radio Streams. Hey, everybody, we are back. Welcome back. We are going to have some fun with an icebreaker round with Derek Wilkinson and our RBeats host and correspondent, Chelsea Walsh. Hey, welcome, everybody. Great. Okay, so I'm going to ask some questions and you're going to answer them.
I get to be part of the game.
Yes, you are part of the game.
Yes,
you are
really excited, Derek.
You are off the clock.
I don't even know what we're doing. This is great.
It is. It's great. Let's
are y'all
go.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, first question. Would you rather have to only speak in hockey terms for a week or only speak in baby talk for a week? Hockey terms or baby talk?
Let's talk a little bit first about my background personally is in child psychology. So that might give a little notion as to why we
are hockey babies.
You're hockey, I'm baby.
Got it.
Oh, so who answers first?
You.
Oh, so until next Friday. Yeah, you want to talk.
Kind of like I do anyway. So I'm going to, if I stick with the hockey, that's just like I talk anyways. Yeah. And I haven't even swore yet, so this is great.
Ooh. You behave.
Because that is a big part of it.
UBG rated.
Exactly. So,
okay, so my answer, I think I would actually talk in hockey terms. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming I'll know what the hockey terms are because I'm not versed in all that. But
hey, Minnesota, you'd pick it. It's a lot of A.
Give us a hockey term. It's not first and 10. Do it again. That's football. What's a hockey term? Do you have yards?
Yeah. We have
yards.
Yards, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We'll meet y'all back.
Oh, look at us.
Top shelf.
We go right back to it.
Go for a rip, eh?
Yeah, that's it. All right. We're going to do it.
Yes, I love it. All right. Next question. Would you rather always have a brain freeze when you drink something or have your favorite sports team victory song play aloud when you walk into the room?
Are you on first this time?
No, you go, Derek. I'm giving it to you, buddy.
I can't do the brain freeze thing. I'm going to have to go with the song.
You like music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you're a music.
A music lover. Brain freeze thing is the worst. Yeah.
The brain freeze is the worst.
It always catches you. Yeah.
And I think walking into a room and having like a song play, I'd be like, let's do this. Yeah. I mean, maybe not at night. I'd be like, okay, it's bedtime.
Yeah. But, I'd still take it over the brain freeze. That is,
yeah, I'm right there.
You know what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen, and I still will continue to eat the ice cream knowing it's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what they say to resolve that situation, though? They say to put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, and that's supposed to stop it. So there's your trick. Next time you eat that ice cream.
All right, everybody watch her. Run to Ben and Jerry. Go to your local ice cream shop. Okay, next question. Are we ready? Would you rather be able to shoot hockey pucks with perfect accuracy but never score, or be able to understand a baby's babbling but not your language?
Oh, wow. I had two girls. And I'm going to go with the babble because there were some looks I got. And I would like to go back in time
some
and understand.
Questionable looks.
Yeah, it actually made me understand what exactly were you thinking, my precious little.
Especially when they're in the bathroom with you. You have to, you have to take them into the bathroom with you. You're like, oh gosh, what are they really thinking?
I'm going to lean that one. Yeah,
I like that answer. I like that answer. I think I would probably shoot a perfect puck into the goal without making that goal. I think it would teach me to keep trying. I'm gonna go opposite of Derek, kind of give us a little different vibe.
Like awesome.
Yeah, that would be a great skill.
Next question. Let's do it. Are we ready? Okay. Would you rather have to only speak in hockey terms for a week or only speak in baby talk for a week? Next question.
I think we did that one.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather have to wear full hockey gear every time you leave the house or dress up in a mascot uniform? Full hockey gear or a mascot uniform?
I've done the mascot thing, unfortunately. Oh,
hockey gear sounds like it'd be hot. I was just going to say.
Oh, my God.
But isn't hockey gear too?
In Tampa, I bet that was
real hockey gear, yeah. I just remember I can't give away that secret, but I was a certain
Tell
mascot.
Tell us all your secrets.
No, I can't because, I was a certain mascot at my daughter's school one time in July. And if you could imagine, like, trying to get the mascot costume on in a daycare parking lot. Going in, half the kids are loving
you. In Charlotte in July.
They're screaming, you're sweating.
Oh, gosh.
And then you walk out and people are, like, driving by. Yeah, I'd go with the hockey. I'm going with hockey. I have scarred for life with the other one. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I do the mascot. Now, I'm not scarred, okay? And I don't know what it takes. I've seen...
Just be careful where you get dressed.
Yes, that's true. I have seen...
Parking lot at a daycare, I wouldn't recommend.
I get the cops called on you or something.
Right? I would definitely, I think I would do the mascot. However, there's a caveat because to get on all the hockey equipment, I'm sure you have it down to a science and it's a perfect thing.
You would, yes.
You would be like, psh, psh, 5 seconds, I'm ready. I've seen people put the stuff on and I'm like, oh my goodness. Mm. There's a lot that goes into that.
I'll give you that one too, because then if it does start to smell, it's like the worst.
Oh gosh. Do they have like things you can spray?
Yeah, but it just doesn't. It's like it just doesn't go away. Yeah. As much as you want it to. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
On to the next. Yeah. Next question. From smelling to the next question. Let's keep it moving. Would you rather have hockey sticks for arms or rollerblades for feet? Hockey sticks for arms or rollerblades for feet?
I'm going to go the rollerblades. Yeah, I'd take my chances. I've had a lot of concussions anyway, so I'm willing to go with the
roller. Me too.
I would be, yeah.
I'd be like, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine typing, wiping, all of it? It's like, woo, that would be real hard. It'd be really woody too, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, we'll save that visual.
Yeah.
But okay. We'll get there really quick then on rollerblades.
Wherever you're going.
You know, you gotta think about it.
Stairs would be hard though.
That would be.
Yeah, that'd be tricky.
Take the elevator if you can.
Yeah. Awesome. Any more questions? Next question. What do we got? Where are we at? Here we go. Would you rather win the Stanley Cup but never make it into the playoffs for the next decade, or make it to the Stanley Cup finals each year for a decade but never wins?
That one's easy. Just win one would be amazing. That's easy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm second to that, Derek.
Yeah, you get the chance to do it once. That would be.
Have you ever won a Stanley?
Not a Stanley Cup. We won the Calder Cup here in Charlotte in 2019, yes. Which was great, which is the next best one.
Here, but Stanley Cup.
See, there we go.
Yes, there
we could have one of those.
Congratulations. Yeah, thank
there
you.
One of those. There we go. That's all we need.
And we got it.
It's only $70.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I would go with the win at once. Yeah. I mean, getting there a lot would be fun. I mean, the experience would be mm-hmm. great, but to not have that final, you know, where you could lift it and, you know, have your name on it. Yeah, I would go with the one.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you agree?
Yeah, I do. I'm so lame in this, but I agree with you, Derek.
Jesus, I've never heard that before. Say that again.
What?
I've never heard that line
in
my life. Yeah.
Okay, next question. Here we go. Would you rather never be able to watch or play hockey again, or never be able to eat your favorite food? Ooh, that's a good one. Hockey or food, what do you choose?
I mean, I'm going to go with the food. Give that up.
Oh, you love hockey.
I would love to still watch hockey. I'll find something else.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. I'll eat the worst food
exactly
ever.
Right. Yeah. I could lose a few pounds. So, yeah, I'll go with take the food out. And I'll watch
Keep
hockey.
Your passion, lose some pounds, yeah, everybody's happy.
That's a tough way to do it, but
that's
sure.
That's so sweet.
I'm going to do the opposite. I like food and
pizza. Come
on. I know. It's like my guilty pleasure. And I'm not so well versed in the hockey thing. I do love it though. It's fair, so fun to watch. But I'm going to
You don't
go
give
with
a puck.
Oh, there we go.
You did it there. I like that. Sorry, I got
it's
a little
too excited there.
I was like, dang. Okay. Cowbell.
Next question. Oh, that's it. All right.
Wow.
Well, that was super fun.
It's like a great lightning round.
Yeah, it was.
Icebreaker.
Derek, do you have anything to say to any young budding hockey player to close? Any advice that you would give to somebody or a parent that has a child that's interested in
a try.
Similar path?
Yeah,
give it a try.
Yeah, it's a fun sport. And if you get the opportunity to give it a try, do it. You'll love it. And, you know, it'll be something you can talk about the rest of your life.
Love it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Chelsea. And thank you so much, Derek, for coming on. You were amazing. And that is it for We Talk Raw. Thanks for watching, everybody. RBS Radio and Media Streaming Network.
Always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to RBS Radio and Media Streaming Network.